This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run, 7.05 a.m. on Monday, the 25th of July. A somewhat cloudy Monday, but maybe the sun will peek out later in the morning. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. In half an hour, we're going to discuss the latest developments in China's ongoing property sector crisis. It feels like it's never ending there. But first, let's recap how global markets closed on Friday.
The U.S. markets closed the week down. The Dow was down 0.4%. S&P 500 down 0.9%, Nasdaq was down 1.9%. Over across in Asia, it was all green with the exception of the Shanghai Composite, which was down marginally 0.06%. The Nikkei was up 0.4%, Hang Seng up 0.2%, Singapore's STA up 0.9%, and back home, FBM KLC up 1.1%.
Now joining us on the line for some thoughts on where markets are headed this week is Stephen Innes, Managing Partner at SPI Asset Management. Good morning, Stephen. Thanks for joining us today. Now, the S&P 500 retreated last Friday after a four-day rally, dragged by weak earning results in technology-related stocks like Snap. However, U.S. banks have been performing well. Are tech companies more susceptible to recessionary pressures compared to financial ones?
Well, it's an interesting comment because generally when we see interest rates fall, which is pretty much part and parcel of the recessionary environment, growth stocks tend to do well. Have to remember that the market, unlike Main Street, tends to look forward. It's got a looks at the brighter horizon 6 to 12 months down the road. And I think this is why we're seeing stocks rally, because the markets, although we realize we're in an inflationary environment, although we know that recession is coming, the market sees the bright picture because they believe the Fed Reserve Board will have to drop interest rates. So in my view here, I think that tech stocks will continue to do better than financials, because at the end of the day, the Feds are going to drop interest rates, and that's negative for financials.
But Stephen, just curious, what is your perspective in terms of the rate hike that the Fed will probably announce this week? Is it going to be 50?
They're going to raise 75 basis points. I mean, the Fed has pretty much set that in stone, but I think it's what the guidance is going to show and how the Feds are interpreting where they move on interest rates. So this is my read through. It's to be very, very much focused on inflation. The inflation and the index that they look at, specifically around the Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey, have been dropping dramatically. We don't think CPI is going to drop dramatically this month, but we think it's going to continue dropping quite significantly, because the biggest component there was gasoline prices. Oil prices are now down under $100 per barrel, and that's from $130 per barrel. So these issues, these points really point towards lower interest rates by the Feds as we move into the end of the year.
You know, Stephen, let's talk about Malaysia. We've been one of the larger recipients of FDI in ASEAN over the last 2 years, mostly related to chip-making companies. What catalysts are driving these inflow of funds into our country? Is it the weaker ringgit?
To an extent, it could possibly be that, but I think there's a move for diversification so that companies abroad don't want to put all the chips, excuse the word here, chips or eggs in the one basket. What they're trying to do here is move away from China. And quite frankly, that seems to be because of the issues that we've had with supply chains that really came to the fore there. That you've seen lately with Janet Yellen over in Asia talking about friendly shoring. This is bringing together friends in Asia and for these big multinational companies to start investing both ways, both in the U.S. and both in specific areas in Asia. And I think this is part and parcel. I think it's called diversification. In other words, they don't want to have everything in China. They want to have investments and products getting produced in different parts of Asia.
Stephen, can I bring your attention to currencies? We were talking about the Malaysian ringgit earlier.
Sure.
Let's talk about the Thai baht, which hit a 15-year low recently. Yet tourism is picking up and most economic sectors have fully reopened. What's the net impact of the weakening currency going to be on Thailand's economic growth?
2 points here. One, it should produce better export levels because competitive advantage of the weaker currency. I think the Bank of Thailand is not in a rush to strengthen the currency right now, and they haven't shown any inclination to raise interest rates. Problem is that they're facing inflation pressures just like Malaysia's and just like every other country is, and they don't want to import more inflation by having the weaker currency. So they're in a bit of a dilemma right now. The economy is starting to come back, as you indicated. correctly, tourism is starting to pick up. I think eventually this will lead to a stronger Asia FX and stronger Thai baht. But the big problem we have right now is China. That COVID, zero COVID policy, which is really keeping a lot of Chinese tourists locked up in the country, and that's a big problem. You know that Malaysia, Thailand, we all really get supported by Chinese influx of money, and that's just not happening right now. So when that eventually reopens, I think things will turn a lot brighter on both of those currencies.
Stephen, I want to ask your opinion on gold. I mean, it had a bit of a flash crash last week, plummeting to a low of $1,678 an ounce on Friday. This morning, it is hovering around $1,725. Tell us, where do you think gold is heading?
You know, we were factoring in around this level, believe it or not, by year end, somewhere between 1650 and 1750. And that was very much predicated on the Federal Reserve Board hiking interest rates. We think peak Fed hawkishness, in other words, the Fed has already put their cards on the table right now. And given that the recessionary overtones, which may get even brought forward here by a week back-to-back declines in U.S. GDP, which signaled a technical recession, we believe that the market could bring forward Fed rate cuts closer to the turn of the year. Not this year, but we think we could see a rate cut from the Fed early in 2023 because of these recessionary concerns. Hence, I think gold will be an attractive diversifier in any portfolio. I think people should really consider still warming up to gold because I think we're going to see the dollar weaken. And I think we're also going to see the Fed drop interest rates as we move into 2023 will be that narrative.
Stephen, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Stephen Innes, Managing Partner of SBI Asset Management, giving us his take on some of the trends that he sees moving markets in the days and weeks ahead. Mentioning there that, you know, keep your eye on gold, and it's still an attractive investment asset. But turning our attention to some global headlines that have caught our eye, we do have news coming out of China's property sector and that huge problem that we saw last year, which is Evergrande.
Yes, I think what we saw last Friday, that its CEO, Xia Hyajun, was forced to resign amid a company probe into how $2 billion of deposits were used as security for third parties to obtain bank loans. Its CFO, Pan Darong, also was made to step down, while Sean Siu, an executive director, will take over as CEO. This, I think, is a worrying sign, right, that one, I think, China's largest property developers is going through this restructuring, and its management has all been asked to step down.
So who's going to manage this ship that has a bit of a few leaks in it? Not just a few leaks, actually, a pretty big leak. What's going to happen to the fact that they've got numerous bond payments due? They probably have very unhappy buyers, because we've already heard news in China where some buyers actually just refuse to pay their mortgages because they're not sure whether the properties will actually be completed. And I think we're going to have a conversation later on at 7:30 with Gary Ng, an economist, in terms of how the property sector is evolving in China. Bear in mind, it's a sector that contributes 25% to GDP. It's a very sensitive topic, actually, among Chinese. So do tune in. I think that's going to be an interesting conversation.
More on that in just a bit. But turning our attention to another headline, this is on Twitter's Twitter earnings last Friday. Twitter reported disappointing second quarter sales, another blow to a company that's already fighting a high-profile legal battle with Elon Musk.
Earnings per share were at a loss of 8 cents adjusted versus expected earnings of 14 cents. Revenue was only about $1.18 billion versus its expected $1.32 billion. Its monetizable daily active users stood at about 237.8 versus 238 expected.
But do you know what? Does anybody really care about their earnings at this moment? Because everyone's attention is really just focused on the legal lawsuit. And even before this, it wasn't a darling on Wall Street. Currently, 3 buys on this name, 30 holds, 3 sells. Consensus target price for Twitter, $42.88. It closed $39.84, actually.
And just a reminder that Elon Musk said he'd pay $54.20 when he first made that deal. Doesn't look like a good bet right now. 7:17 in the morning, we're taking a break. And when we come back, we're going to discuss Malaysia's efforts to combat trafficking in persons and why we still remain at the bottom of the U.S.'s trafficking in persons report. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.